David Kara. Thank you, David. Now, for a follow-up, I'm going to sing. Nah, I won't. you don't want me to do that. Open your Bibles with me. 1 John chapter 2. We are returning now after taking a little bit of a detour last week for Mother's Day. We're returning this morning to our sermon series entitled Clarity. What we're doing is returning to Scripture to shed some light, to allow Scripture to clarify the answers to questions that reoccur, concerns that we have that are common among each other. If I've trusted Jesus as my Savior and follow Him today as my Lord, then two things have happened to me. One, I have been adopted into God's royal family. I am a son of the living God. I'm the son of the King of heaven. You're a daughter of the King of heaven. The second thing that's happened to me is God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, has taken up residency in me, and He's brought with Him a new DNA. He's brought with Him characteristics that are new to me and new to mankind. So, this morning, we're going to see what Scripture has to say about our royalty. It's important that I begin displaying the characteristics of my Father, the King. Look with me now, John 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. I've written to you, children, because you've come to know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you've come to know the one who's from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you're strong. God's word remains in you, and you've had victory over the evil one. Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. Because everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of one's lifestyle, is not from the Father, but of the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does God's will remains forever. And of course, you're all familiar with this passage. It comes up frequently, and we've talked about it frequently. That's why we want to look at it in a little bit greater depth this morning. You may or may not be aware, but in September of last year, Queen Elizabeth II became the longest reigning monarch in the history of England. 64 years on the throne. They're honoring her, in fact, this week. She also turned 90 on the 21st of last month. Let me read some of these factoids. Her father became King George VI in 1936 after his brother Edward VIII abdicated the throne. Elizabeth was trained from early childhood to be the queen. As a little girl, this is cute, she was affectionately known as Littlebit. During World War II, she served in the Auxiliary Territorial Service. She became the fourth woman in the history to be given the Order of the Garter, the highest order of British knighthood. On the day she turned 21, she made a history-making declaration to the British people by radio, and that's still recorded and still played from time to time. She said this at age 21, "My whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and to the service of our great imperial family," talking about the United Kingdom. And so far as I know, Queen Elizabeth has done as fine a job with that as anyone in history. She's done a great job. Been a little bit disappointed, to tell you the truth, at her son, Prince Charles. He doesn't, you agree? at. I don't know what, we'll talk more about that here in just a moment. But her grandsons, I like Prince William, Prince Harry. Those guys seem to carry, they can't seem to carry the royal DNA somehow. They wear it better in any way. So it's easier for us to think of them as royalty. Well, John's writing this letter to royalty. He's writing this letter, and he talks about it here. He's writing this letter to sons and daughters of the King of Heaven. He's writing this letter to royalty. And he's trying to bring out some of the qualities that are important as royal family. So if you've given your life to Christ Jesus, if you follow him as Lord today, you're part of the royal family, and you're going to want to listen to this because this is helpful. Let's begin talking about some of these characteristics, some of these royal characteristics that we need to be adopting, we need to be displaying as sons and daughters of the King. The first one, and this may be obvious, is we need to act like royalty. If that's who we are, act like it. John uses these three terms to address his readers. He uses the term fathers, children, and young men. He's used all three of them to address the same group. We need not parse those. These are folks who've repented of their sins. And in verse 12, if you have your Bibles open there, he says their sins have been forgiven. And then in verse 13, he says that they know the one, capital O, they know the one who is from the beginning, referring, of course, to Jesus. So they've been forgiven of their sins. And now they have a personal relationship with Jesus as their Lord and Master. And that is what's gained for them, this royal status. And what John wants to do here is he wants to reassure them of that fact. And by extension, he wants to reassure us of that fact. We are royalty. They were royalty by virtue of their relationship with Jesus. We are royalty by virtue of our relationship with Jesus. Being children of the King meant they had inherited certain character traits from their father. Strength was one of the character traits they had inherited. We know that because in verse 14, John tells them, "You are strong." Apparently, it was important for them to understand that they had inherited this strength. I think it's important for us this morning to know also that we have inherited Christ's strength. Let me paraphrase, if I may. I'm not quoting scripture here, but let me just paraphrase what John is saying here. He's saying, I've written to you because your world has changed. I'm writing to you because you have new DNA. I'm writing to you because now you're part of the royal family. I'm writing to you because you have a new characteristic. You are strong. Haven't always been. You haven't always been strong, but you are now. You're stronger than you used to be. You're stronger than folks who are not in the royal family, and you're stronger than you realize you are. That's quite a message John's communicating to them and to us. Act strong. During a late evening jog, right at dusk, the jogger decided to take a shortcut through a large cemetery to his house. And it was dark enough that as he was running along, he failed to see a freshly dug grave, and he fell into it. And he spent the next hour trying to jump out of this grave, trying to grab hold of the sides and get out. But after an hour of trying every imaginable maneuver, he couldn't get out. So he resigned himself to sitting down in the corner until sunrise. Well, 30 minutes later, another evening jogger made the same mistake. He was running along, failed to see the grave, and fell into it. And he made an initial attempt to jump up and get his way out, missed. The first jogger stood up behind him, put his hand on his shoulder, and said, You can't get out. And the second jogger immediately climbed out of the grave. He had strength he did not know he had. This is the message to us here today. We now have strength we do not know we have. We are stronger than we realize. We haven't always had it, and we kind of remember not having it. We kind of remember those days when we did not have this strength. But having trusted our lives to Christ Jesus, following Him as Lord, we have new DNA. We don't feel it. It doesn't scratch or feel. We don't know we have it. But now we're stronger than those folks who are not the royal family. We're not putting them down. We're not laughing at them. We're not ridiculing them. We're just saying they don't have it. We do. We have strength we did not used to have. We have, because of our relationship with the King of Heaven, because of the fact we've been adopted into the royal family, because we have received from Him His choice, not ours, we have received new DNA. We have strength we don't realize we have. And all John is saying here is, use it. Act like royalty. You have this new characteristic. You're strong. Act strong. Act strong in your faith. Act strong in your faith at home. Act strong in your faith around your family. Act strong in your leadership. You say, I don't have any leadership. Yes, you do. You have an aura you don't realize you have. You hear me? You have an aura you don't realize you have by virtue of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Act strong at work. Act strong in your leadership at work. Act strong in your leadership with your friends. Act strong in your leadership with your family. Act strong in your faith and in your leadership, your royalty. Here's another characteristic. Work like royalty. In order to reassure all the His readers here who are true Christ followers, and that includes us. John says in verse 14, God's word remains in you. This is another characteristic trait of God's royal children. God's teachings are alive in us. They're not alive in everybody. You know, we have to understand this difference. In contrast, John says in chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So God's teachings aren't a lot alive in those folks. And again in chapter 2, verse 4, the one who says, I have come to know Him, and I need to insert the word but, it makes it clear, I have come to know Him, but without keeping His commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So God's teachings do not dwell in that person either. But the person who's genuinely given their life to Christ and follows Him as Lord of life, that person has been born into the royal family, and that person has some new character traits. We have new character traits. One of them is strength, and the other in this new DNA is God's word remains in us. But now follow along with me here. In order to live the way God asks us to live in verses 15 through 17, we read that a moment ago, we're going to have to do more than just have the Word of God alive in us. We need to put those teachings to work in our lives. We'll want to live by those teachings. Here's what comes to my mind. Let me explain to you this way. Suppose you slept till 9:30 or 10 every day. And you went to the kitchen table and you ate half dozen eggs, you know, another half dozen biscuits covered with cream gravy made with bacon grease. And you accompanied that with a stack of pancakes covered with syrup and butter. We used to eat this way, by the way. And a pile of sausage, and you wash all that down with whole milk. And 3 hours later, you know, after you take your morning nap, 3 hours later you come back to the table and eat a couple of juicy pork chops and a plate of fried potatoes, fried okra, iced tea. You go in for your afternoon nap, come back to the supper table, 12-ounce sirloin, fully loaded baked potato, red beans and bacon. Cover you chase all that with a big quarter wedge pecan pie a la mode. What if you ate that way and you didn't do anything all day except sleep late, go to bed early, and just enjoy the leisure life? What would happen to you? You know, you'd just explode. You'd get overweight, you'd get lazy, you'd get sick, you'd get tired, you'd be unhealthy. You know why? Because the food's doing nothing but remaining in you. It's just living in you. But now, what if you ate that way, but you got up at 6 a.m. and you worked hard all day chopping wood? You ever done that? Hauling hay. What if you got up in the morning? You haven't done that either. What if you got up early in the morning and you worked hard all day doing something really physically hard? You know how you'd feel then? Strong and vigorous and healthy. You could fight a lion. You know the difference? In one, the food is just living in you. In the other, the food is going to work and helping you. Which way do you think is God's way? You can answer this out loud, by the way. The second way is God's way. We talked a moment ago about the strength we receive. We receive that strength from the Word of God. But listen to me. If all we do is receive the Word of God, if all we do is understand the Word of God, if all we do is take in the Word of God and it just remains in us, we become spiritually fat and unhealthy and weak and docile. It's only when we take the Word of God and put it to work in our lives and do something with that in our lives that we become strong and virile, healthy, enjoying life. Are you understanding this? You know, I wonder sometimes when God looks down upon us, if he doesn't say, somebody bring me a belt. You know, my kids are getting spiritually overweight, lazy, and unhealthy because they're receiving all my nourishment and doing nothing with it. You think God's that practical, or maybe he's just spiritual, sits up there on his throne with a halo over his head, being weighed down by angels? I think God looks down here at us and says, light the fire under that one right there. Let me tell you something. If you want to take the Word of God you've been taught for all these years and put it to work, you be out here tonight at 4:45. Meet me over there in the MPB and I'll put you to work. We're distributing connection cards, and we're praying over houses in the Sarah's Creek Village tonight. It's only going to take us about an hour and a half, but if you can tear yourself away from all the other important stuff you're doing, we'll put you to work. You know what that is? That's a characteristic of royalty. We act like royalty, and we work like royalty. Well, that pastor's on fire this morning. Here's a third one. Fight like royalty. Fight who? Well, John's suggestion is that we should fight Satan. Another characteristic of being in the royal family of King Jesus, verse 14, you have had victory over the evil one. Past tense, the moment we gave our lives to Christ Jesus, trusted him as Savior and Lord, began following him as the manager of our life. In that moment, Satan's grip on our lives was broken. Jesus says in John 16:33, be courageous. I've conquered the world. It's a done deal. Then John says here in chapter 4, verse 4, "You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." That's our new DNA. That's what we've inherited. That's what we received the moment we were born again, born into his kingdom. Now we have, by virtue of being in the royal family, we have also defeated Satan. But here's the rub. It's up to us to keep him out of our lives. We have to get involved in this action. We have to do something to keep him out. We have to get down in the trenches and fight this fight. I do, you do, we all do. Satan's been thrown out, but we have to keep him out. How do we do that? Just after John tells us we become the Lord's royalty, just after John tells us we've overcome Satan, the very next thing he tells us here in verse 15 is this: "Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world." So listen to me. The way we fight Satan and keep him out of our lives is by not loving this world. That's how we do it. Not clinging to this world. That's how we fight Satan. Why should we not cling to this world? You know what? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to cling to this world. It doesn't make sense to love the world, love the things of the world. If we're part of the royal family, why would we want to love the world? Let's talk about ISIS for a moment. Suppose, as a nation, we were to give ourselves again to building up our military. You know, it's the weakest now since before Noah, I think. But if we were to begin building up our military again and declare war on ISIS, and if we were to give it our best, and after severe loss of life and American blood, if we were to defeat ISIS, wouldn't that be a great thing? I mean, ISIS wants to destroy us. ISIS is trying to destroy us. They're building up, they're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. If we were to defeat ISIS and render them defeated, that'd be a great, great thing. But after they're defeated at great cost in American lives, would you need someone to explain to you why we should not love ISIS? Would you need to have a pastor stand before you and explain to you why it doesn't make sense to love ISIS? Don't love ISIS. They want to destroy us. They've tried to destroy us. Their reason for existing is trying to destroy us. Don't love, don't embrace, don't follow after the philosophies, the militant Islamic philosophies of ISIS. Don't. Doesn't make sense. That's the way it is here. At great cost, at the extreme cost, God's Son gave his life, spilled his blood, defeating Satan and defeating the culture that follows Satan. By the way, this culture is following Satan, and it's getting more and more of that case that way every day. This culture in which we live is under the control of Satan. Jesus gave his life, shed his blood, defeating Satan and defeating the culture that follows Satan. Why would we want to love this culture? It does not make sense to love this culture or to embrace its philosophies. If we want to keep Satan out of our lives, don't love this culture. Don't embrace this culture. Don't entertain this culture. Don't listen to this culture. Fight by keeping this culture out of our lives. Now, as God's royal family, as God's children, as Jesus' younger brothers and sisters, if we want to keep Satan out of our lives, we have to stop loving this world. We mentioned at the beginning Prince Charles. I don't get good vibes from Prince Charles. The vibe I get from Prince Charles is the vibe of privilege. You know? He kind of puts off the vibe of entitlement. You know? I'm Prince Charles. I've done so much to earn this position. His mother, yeah. Queen Elizabeth. Not Prince Charles. Entitlement, privilege. But now, William and Harry, I don't get that vibe from them. I don't get the vibe of privilege from them. I don't get the vibe of entitlement from them. Both those young men have served time in the military. They put their necks on the line. You say, well, they're princes. No, but they've done the work. They put off the vibe of duty. They put off the vibe of seriousness about their role. They're serious about this. They're serious about their duty as royalty. I wonder, as God looks down here on us, as God looks down here on me, as God looks down here on you, royal family, sure. What kind of a vibe am I putting off? Entitlement. I'm royal family. I'm a child of God. Prestige. That's just who I am. Or am I giving off the vibe of duty, loyalty, royalty? I think, and I've thought about this a lot, I think what God's looking for in his kids is an attitude of seriousness. God, I'm serious about being your son. This is not flippant to me. This is important to me. You're important to me. I have a job to do, and I'm going to do it no matter what. I'm getting in the trenches, and I'm going to do what you are asking me to do. I'm going to fight like royalty. You think? Let's pray. Father God, we're reassured and we're comforted, being reminded of the fact, the status, that we're your children by virtue of our faith in Jesus and following him as Lord of our lives. We're your children. We're part of the royal family. We're no longer part of the defeated. We're part of the eternal. Strength we don't know we have. Indwelling word. Yes. Don't let us bask in our privilege. Do not allow us to live as though we're entitled. Impress upon us profoundly this morning the seriousness of being your sons and your daughters. We'll lead you as you follow. As you present us with opportunities, we'll take them. We'll do all that you ask us to do. because we're your children. Keep your head bowed for a moment. Let me just ask you this. Are you one of his children? Jesus says in John 3, marvel not when I say to you, you must be born again. Flesh is born of flesh, spirit is born of spirit. Marvel not when I say to you, you must be born again. Being born again is the becoming a son or a daughter of the king, being born into the royal family. It's a moment in time. Have you done this? Have you turned your back on the world? Have you turned your back on the culture? Have you turned your back on their philosophies and their teachings? And have you turned to Christ Jesus and said, I'm following you. I'm trusting you. I'm following you. If you have, in that moment, he canceled your sin debt. He moved into you with his Holy Spirit. Today, you're his son or you're his daughter. But if you haven't, you need to do that today, right now, before you leave. In fact, that's why he's brought you here this morning. He's brought you here this morning to become part of the royal family. In just a moment, we're going to sing. And while we sing, I want to invite you to come. This is very important. This is very serious. While we sing, I'm going to invite you to come. Spend just a moment visiting with one of our counselors. We have men and women who love people, would love to have an opportunity to visit with you and pray with you for just a moment. You can leave here today a son or a daughter, not just an interested spectator. Would you come? Sons and daughters, you may need to come to the altar here today and spend some time in prayer. If you've not been embracing the seriousness of our role as being part of the royal family, that needs to change. Whatever the Spirit of God is leading you to do today, would you just come? Lord and Savior, we need for you to guide us now. We trust you. Draw us to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.